Radio Maria now presents The Will of God with Father Robert Young, a program in which Father Robert takes a look at the writings of Luisa Picaretta. And now, here's Father Robert Young with The Will of God.
Hello, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to all of you. I'm Father Robert Young with you today in this program on The Will of God in the life and writings of Luisa Picaretta. It is the greatest joy of my life to share with you this gift, the gift that has been the greatest in my life and I know is the greatest in yours, and I hope will become the greatest in yours if it is not already. So those of you who have been with us for a while, welcome back. For those who are new today, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your interest in this program today. I know you're going to find it to be one of the most rewarding kinds of programs you could ever hear, because it's going to bring you so much closer to God in every dimension of your life. So I invite you to stay with us during this hour together as we consider the will of God in Luisa's life, but also the will of God in our own lives, because that's where it counts the most, in your life and in mine. So let us ask God to help us to know what it means to live always in His divine will as we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the end of this month dedicated to the most precious blood of Jesus, I'd like to share with you a prayer from Luisa's writings. This is from the date of January 14th, 1902, in Luisa's diary, The Book of Heaven, as she wrote this prayer. My Father, I offer you the blood of Jesus. Oh, let His blood cover all the intellects of creatures and render hollow all evil thoughts. May it quench the fire of their passions and make reappear holiness in all intellects. Let this blood cover their eyes and veil their sight, so that the appeal of evil pleasures cannot enter, that they not be defiled with the mud of the earth. Let Jesus' blood cover and fill all mouths and render lips dead to blasphemies, curses, scandals, and all the wicked words. My Father, let this blood cover their hands, make it be such that so many disgraceful acts become repulsive to man. Let this blood circulate in your eternal will to cover everyone and defend everyone. Let it be the creature's defensive armor before the rites of your justice. Amen. Fiat. Father, we make this prayer for all of your children, those in the past, present, and future, in a special way for ourselves and those most dear to us. May your divine will reign in us as we learn. May the blood of Jesus and the will of Jesus, flowing the will of God in that blood, cover our minds, hearts, and bodies and souls to render all that we do a perfect act of love and thanksgiving and adoration to the Father on behalf of all through Christ our Lord. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, help us know what it means to live always in the will of God. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. So once again, welcome to this program today to hear about, to learn about the greatest of all gifts, the miracle of miracles, the greatest mercy God has ever shown to mankind, which is to return and restore the original grace of creation, which is the gift of God's will reigning in the human will of man and woman. This is God's greatest gift. This is what He imparted to Adam and Eve in the garden. It's what was nourishing them in the garden from the tree of life. It is what they lost from the tree of life and the garden when they had to leave it, which was this knowledge of God's will living, reigning, operating in them. That knowledge, brothers and sisters, is now returned to you, restored to you and to me, to the church and the world, through this private revelation of Luisa Picaretta. Is it a new revelation? No, because all of this is contained in Scripture, in the doctrines of the church, and in many of the teachings of the saints, but it is now given to us fully restored as a divine science, a new and divine science to know, to come to love and possess fully the gift that God intended for us from the beginning. And so we are today studying from volume 13 of the Book of Heaven, Louisa's greatest work, 36 volumes of a diary she wrote over 40 years. So as we continue, we are now at the date of the 14th of July, 1921. And so the little title is, Whoever Lives in the Will of God Exposes Himself to the Son, S-U-N, of His Eternal Volition, and Receives the Reflection of All His Divine Perfections. Louisa writes, My will was immersed in the eternal volition when an incomprehensible light helped me to understand, saying, My daughter, for the person who lives in my will, the effect is like earth that is exposed to the sun. The sun, the king of all creation, is high above all things. It seems like all of nature depends upon the sun for everything that pertains to its life, beauty, and fruitfulness. A flower depends upon the sun for its beauty, its color, and fragrance. As it blossoms and opens up, so it opens its mouth to receive warmth and light from the sun, in order to become colored and filled with fragrance and form its life. Plants depend upon the sun for their maturity, sweetness, and flavor. All things depend upon the sun for their life. Clearly, we don't need to be a scientist to know that all life depends on the sun. Without the sun, there would be no life on earth. My volition is greater than the sun. As the soul enters into its burning rays, so it receives life. As the soul continues acting in my volition, so it receives my beauty, my sweetness and fruitfulness, my goodness and holiness. Every time the soul enters into the rays of my volition, my willing, it receives even more divine qualities. Oh, what a varied beauty it acquires! What liveliness of colors, what fragrances! If all this could be seen by creatures, it would be paradise on earth for them. Such is the beauty of this soul. They are my reflectors, my true images. Beautiful passage, which, you know, so often, as Jesus does in the gospel, he uses images, symbols, parables, metaphors to communicate something very spiritual, something very invisible, something that we cannot see. We have to use things we can see because we know things through our senses. Without our senses, without our sight and hearing and touch, etc., it's very hard for us to have any knowledge of anything. So Jesus uses things that we know already from physical nature to help us understand spiritual things in the spiritual realm and nature so that we can learn to live them interiorly. And it's one of the facts of reality that the natural world, the physical material world, is in a sense a copy of the interior spiritual world. So that for everything that happens within us, inside, there is something on the outside and in the external world that reflects it. Well, in the same way, he is saying that the soul who lives in God's divine will is a reflection of God himself, because it is God and his will, which is his essence, that is living now and moving and operating, doing in that soul what it does in itself, which is, it's an amazing thought that God can do in us the very same thing God does in himself, which is what? In relation to us, to create, redeem, and sanctify, that we can do that because God is doing it in us. We cooperate, collaborate, correspond to him by doing it ourselves. So Jesus is using this image of the sun. It's probably the most common image you'll ever hear in the Book of Heaven. Why? Because it's the sun, S-U-N, is such a clear bright image of the divine will, because everything on earth depends on it. It's something apart from the earth. It is not the earth. And yet the earth is so greatly affected by it and receives almost everything from it that without the sun, there would be no life on earth. It would simply, everything here that is alive depends on the sun. So he's saying, in the same way, everything here, both in physical realm and the external world, as well as the interior world, the spiritual realm, also depends for its life on the will of God. Without the will of God, you would not exist. It is the will of God that keeps you in existence. Even, as we've said before, even the poor souls in hell, the most poor of all and the saddest of all, are in the will of God, because hell is God's way of keeping those eternal souls alive, but at the same time apart from him, because that's where they've chosen to be. It's their freedom that has brought them there. So their own freedom, but at the same time God's will has allowed them, permitted them to go there, because that's what they chose. And God gave us freedom, and therefore the consequent will, the consequent acts of God that flow from his original gift, he will not interfere with. God will not undo that, because that's our choice. That is a consequence of the freedom that he has given us. So he's saying that just as all of nature, natural life depends on the sun, so everything here on earth depends on the sun, on the divine will, and those who live in God's will simply acknowledge that fact. We simply acknowledge that reality, that without God's will, we would cease to exist. We would indeed be nothing. We are not. When we say we are nothing, what we mean is that without God, that is all we are. But with God, that's another story. With God, we are all, because we belong to God. We are in God. We possess God. Therefore, we possess everything together with God as his children. And so the sun there is simply that kind of image of our reliance and our dependence on the will of God. But he's saying, when you live in it, my will is the sun of your life. So that all that the sun does for the earth, the realm of physical nature, God now does for you in the spiritual realm in your soul. In other words, just as all those effects of the rays of the sun pouring upon the earth create life, generate life, renew life, give life its color, its beauty, its taste, its form, everything, so too the will of God in your soul, acting in your soul with its rays emanating from the divine being essence in you by grace, is going to impart to you all of its nature, all of its effects, all of its graces. Why? Because God is completely there. His will is all of him. It's everything that God is and everything that God does. And God cannot give himself in parts. The rays that come from God, which are the effects of his being and his presence, are received in part simply because we are limited in our natural ability to receive them all, and by our disposition we limit them. But God himself, by imparting to us the fullness of his divine will reigning in us, then is able to work in us in a complete way, a perfect way, a full way, if we let him. And to the extent that we allow him, that we trust, believe, welcome, invite, and love him to do this in us. He says, then the soul acquires all the beauty, the attributes of God himself. Now, this is why God can say that this is not about human virtue. This is not about just doing God's will, that is, as something external to yourself. No, it's about the will of God as the subject operating in your life, in your will, and in your soul. This is what this is about. It's not something just given to you from the outside, but it's something that begins to possess you from within so that it now controls your life. So that we can say, oh, divine will, come and reign in me. Take dominion, control completely over my life. I give you my will to be one with yours, to do with me whatever you want. And I surrender to you completely. See, this is the fullness of the gift God wants restored. Not just to do his will as something out there, but to do his will with God doing it in us himself. That's the difference. So in the next passage from July 20th, 1921, the divine will is symbolized in the water. So first he talks about the sun, now he's going to use water, the most necessary element for the life of all things on earth. Remember, Louisa, these first, I'd say from 11, 12, of course, which we completed, and 13, these are, Louisa's still in somewhat of an indoctrination period, if you will, a catechesis herself on what this is all about. So he's going to use as many images and symbols as he can to get this across. So from 20th of July, continuing in my usual state, I felt very saddened. Said to myself, only your volition, your will remains for me. I have nothing else. Everything is gone. See, he spent the first 50 years of her life stripping her of everything else but his will. And now he's teaching her what a great gift she ended up with. And she's kind of lamenting the fact that she doesn't have now anything. She can't leave her room. She can't leave her bed. Totally dependent on other people. She has no friends, no social life, no activity other than praying, doing a little bit of her embroidery, lace work in bed, and talking to the couple of people that she encounters during the day. And so Jesus, in response, seeing Jesus, my sweet Jesus, within me, I said to him, no, he said to me, once she recognizes him, my daughter, it is my will that must endure with you. It is symbolized by water. Even though water exists in abundance in the sea and rivers and wells, the rest of the earth appears as though without water. Of course, except for rivers and lakes as well. But compared to the vastness of the seas, there's not a lot of water on the face of the earth. Yet there is nothing on earth that is not permeated with water. So even our bodies, I forget the percentage, but it's a very high percentage that our body is composed of water. And so a lot of our body is simply water. A lot of vegetation is water. A lot of animals is composed of water, H2O. That's the basic element of existence, of life here on earth, that is living beings. There are no structures for which water has not been the prime element in their construction. And of course, Jesus would know because he's the one in whom these things were constructed, created. There is no food for which water does not have its primary place. So even in all that we eat, whether it's vegetable or animal or dairy products, whatever it may be, these things are all really constructed, created by the element of water. Water is the primary element in everything. Otherwise, it would be so dry that man would not even be able to swallow. Such is the power that water contains, that if it were able to escape from the shores of the sea, it would upset and terrify the entire world. And my comment is, indeed it does at times when it goes over its boundaries because of storms. Certainly it does upset and terrify the entire world. We just saw this tragically some years ago in the recent tsunamis, hurricanes, and floods, even in our own country. My will is greater than water. So again, this is what he speaks of, what water does in the natural realm. And now he's going to speak of it in the spiritual, the symbol it is for the spiritual life. It's true that at certain times, periods, and circumstances, my will seems hidden in vast seas, rivers, and wells. See, it's very hard sometimes to discover God's will. Those of you who have done a discernment process in your life for whatever reason, about a vocation or work or marriage or family planning, whatever it may be, you know that it's not always an easy discernment. Sometimes God's will can be very inscrutable, as Pope Benedict says. That is very unknowable, very hard to know. But there's nothing from the greatest to the smallest in which my will does not occupy the first place. So while it may be difficult to discover as God's wish for us or desire for us in our lives, it's also sometimes difficult to discover in itself to know what it is. Why? Because it's God. You know, how do we know God? How do we know what God is, who God is, and all of his attributes? You see, it's a great challenge for us. We're going to spend all of eternity in that school learning about God and who God is, not just things about God, but through intimacy and the beatific vision, we will be learning firsthand by direct relationship with him who he is. That's what he wants on earth as well. It's not something we wait for when we die. So he says, even though it does not show itself and it is hidden, it is water that makes plants grow and that gives life to their roots. But when my love causes the era of my will to begin growing, the new era of maximum benefit for creatures, then the seas and rivers of my volition will overflow, releasing giant waves. They will sweep away everything into my volition. Brothers and sisters, the era has come. The reign of the will of God is upon us, and it is a tsunami. It is a spiritual tsunami of God's kingdom taking over the earth, covering the world, covering humanity. That's exactly what he wants it to be. And he's inviting us not to be inundated by it ourselves so much, but to join the tsunami, to be a part of the inundation. Why? Because it's a tsunami of love, not destruction and death. It is a tsunami of life and love to bring new life. But it has the power, the force, almost the violence, as Jesus says in the gospel. The violent bear it away in the kingdom. That it has this tremendous force and power of God behind it and his love to cover everything else. At other times, he'll call it, as he did at the end of volume 12, his war of love. It is a war in which Christ conquers the world through the divine will, a war of love to conquer. Here it's a tsunami is kind of the image we're looking at. Then this new era will be the maximum benefit to souls that God's will and love could ever bring, because now we know what it means to live in it, what the effects of it can be, and how to let it have its effects in our lives and in the world. This tsunami, these giant waves formed by the kingdom of God's will coming over the earth, will sweep everything else away as it takes it in. It won't sweep it away into oblivion. It will sweep it, if you will, more into this tsunami, into the wave, to become a part of it. Anything that will not become a part of it, yes, will be swept away and will go into oblivion, will be lost. But God, of course, wants everything. He wants this wave of love to immerse everything and bring everything into it, like the images of the kingdom. That's what this is in the gospel. Jesus says, like a dragnet thrown into the sea and brings everything in it together. It's like the harvest today in the gospel, where the weeds and the wheat grow together, but at the end they will be separated. But they're all swept into the same kingdom of God's will together. Because that's the way God wants everything to be a part of it. Those things that will not remain a part of it cannot remain, because they do not belong to the kingdom by choice. It is those souls, those individuals, who are not a part of it. It will be because they have made themselves unfit to belong to that kingdom, like those who come into the wedding feast in the gospel, but have to be cast out because they don't have the wedding garment. They've not chosen to clothe themselves rightly for the kingdom. They're not prepared. They didn't keep their lamps burning, all these various metaphors for not belonging to the kingdom, and therefore they're cast out. But all those who choose to belong and are prepared to belong will be a part of this great tsunami, this giant wave of the kingdom of God that is now covering the earth. I can attest to it because I have seen it in countries all over the world as I've gone to visit Divine Will groups and taught it in various places. We know it's so true in this country where there are people, you know, even to this program listening, so many states in Canada who listen to this program to learn more about it. It's reaching so many people today through the internet and through the phones, the apps that can be downloaded with Radio Maria. So this is the way God's wave is crossing, covering the earth. This tsunami, this powerful movement, whatever you want to call it, this spirituality is making itself known. And it will be known with or without us. You know, He invites us to be a part of that tsunami, to live in it, to make it known. But it's up to us. We're free. Our human will is always free. And that's because without it, we would not love God, we would not choose God, and therefore there'd be nothing for God to gain from it. We would not be His reflection, His image and likeness, if we didn't have a will of our own to love Him in return and restore everything to Him. No longer hidden, this tsunami, its crashing waves, will be seen by everyone and will touch everyone. Whoever tries to resist the current will run the risk of losing his life. You see, you cannot swim against a tsunami. You simply can't do it. You'll be destroyed. You'll die. You'll drown. The only way to survive a tsunami is to flow with it, be a part of it, and continue to cover the earth with it. That's what we want to do. So by listening today, by reading Luisa's writings, you are a part of the tsunami. You are participating in this great revolution of love that God has brought to earth. It's been there from the beginning. It's been restored in redemption and in the church for 2,000 years. Now we finally have a science of what it is and how to live in it. And therefore that tsunami has now taken over, has powerfully been released upon the earth, and we're invited to join it, to be a part of it. Jesus says, now that you have been left with only my volition, you know, after all these years I've been stripping you, Luisa, and now this is all you have, is my divine will. You are like the water that occupies first place over all things. Why? Because that's what the will of God does. It occupies first place. Seek first the kingdom of God, God's reign over you, which is nothing more than His will, and all the rest will be added. God's will is first. If it's not first, then something else will be first, and then you're not in the reign of God. You're not doing the will of God. You're not living in it. Only if God's will and the reign of God's will is first in your life will that happen. When my volition flows out from its shores, your volition, which has been lost in mine, will have primacy over all things, both in heaven and on earth. What more do you want? You know, what else can you ask for, brothers and sisters? If everything that belongs to God now belongs to you through the reign of His will in your soul, you don't need anything else. Now, granted, here for life on earth, yes, we need. I'm not saying we don't need material things to live and we need the sacraments. But all of those things now become for us aspects of living in the will of God. So that the way we relate to those things, whether it be human or divine, natural or spiritual, no matter what it is, we now relate to it first and foremost through, with, and in the only thing that matters in our lives and in life, period. And that is the kingdom of God's will, reigning on earth as in heaven. When that becomes the center of your life, when that becomes the only thing you're concerned with, your life will change. It has to. Everything else will take second place. And trust me, you start living that way, people will know the difference. You will start having conflicts you never had before. Today I listened to someone who told me that a businessman in another part of the country who had in his life been very, very wealthy, multimillionaire, but who had gained a lot of his money by wining and dining his customers and potential customers, and not in a very moral way. He said when he decided to change all that and to start living a more upright and honest life in relationship to his business, he lost a lot of customers. You know, yes, we change, but there are consequences. You can say, well, maybe I better go back to my old way of life. No, that's not the answer. The answer is trust God, because you've put him first now, and he'll take care of your needs. He'll take care of you. You may not be a multimillionaire anymore, but he'll still provide all that you need, and that's all that matters. The rest will never matter in eternity, except for perhaps your eternal ruin. But you see, when we start making these choices, yes, we're going to lose friends. Someone else told me today that this person had lost a lot of friends because they no longer moved in the circles of an immoral life that they used to move in. Yes, you're going to lose friends. You might even lose some family members. Jesus predicted this, didn't he? When he says, if you don't love me more than even your brothers and sisters, mother and father, children, then you cannot be my disciple. Hard words. And yet, if you're going to live in the kingdom of God, those words must be taken to heart. Everything else is secondary. Not first, secondary. Even our love of neighbor, our relationships, are secondary to the kingdom of God. The second is similar to the first, but it is not equal. Love the Lord your God first with all your mind, heart, and strength. That must come first, because otherwise our love for others, human beings, will easily take precedence and priority over our love for God. That's something we have to watch very, very carefully in our lives. Perhaps it is the greatest temptation we all face. I'm not even talking about immoral relationships. I'm just saying it is such a natural thing for us to put our own families, our own love for our families, somehow before our love for God. And it's a very dangerous and risky thing to do. The kingdom of God must come first, everything else afterwards. Well, with those words of the gospel, I'd invite you now to reflect a bit on your own life and see what the Lord's asking you to do. How is he stripping you? How is he asking you to be more and more free, to let go of more and more of the things that encumber you in your life and that keep you from putting the will of God and the reign of God's will first in your life? We'll take a few moments now for quiet reflection with a music interlude. Please stay with us. Come back. We'll continue with our study of Volume 13 in a moment. So stay with us with the will of God in the life of Luisa Picaretta. Thank you. Welcome back, and thanks for staying with us. I'm Father Robert Young with you today in the program called The Will of God in the Life and Writings of Louisa Picaretta. We're studying Volume 13 in a 36-volume diary that Louisa wrote under holy obedience to the church called The Book of Heaven. So we're continuing now with a passage from that volume. We just completed a passage from the month of July, dated the 20th of July, 1921. I just want to read the very end of that passage again before we move on, because it's so powerful that and it's such a great image for us of what this is all about. Jesus says to Louisa, "When my will, that is my volition and the reigning of it, flows out from its shores." So if you think of God as a sea, and we're on the shore of that sea, that when the will of God flows over those shores, those boundaries of God himself, onto us, you know, who are the shore. Then he says, your will, your volition, which has been lost in mine, will also have primacy over everything else. See, why do the apostles rule as over everything else from heaven? You see, you will judge the 12 tribes of Israel as the 12 apostles. You will reign with me, as the book of Revelation says. You will sit on my throne. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit on my throne and reign with me. Well, that is what heaven is, but that reigning doesn't begin in heaven. It begins on earth, as St. Paul says many times. You're already there in the will of God through baptism and the sacraments. You're already reigning with Christ in heaven. So start to live that way and be a victor, be a conqueror, be one who is reigning with God, because you already have primacy over all things. We can say, well, then why don't people listen to me and obey me when I tell them to do things? Well, because the world is not heaven yet. Our souls are heaven right now. God is living in us as his heaven. And the will of God is reigning in us as heaven. But the world is not heaven here on earth. And therefore, the world doesn't recognize us and our primacy. But it doesn't mean we don't reign. In the spiritual realm, you are already reigning with Christ. You are already victorious with him. You've already conquered the world. St. John says, who is the one who conquers the world? The one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You conquer the world because you put your faith in him. And he has conquered the world. Obviously, Jesus has conquered the world by his life, death, and resurrection. When you have been baptized into his life, death, and resurrection, you are victorious with him. You are victim with him on the altar, but you are also victor with Jesus, as he is victor in heaven. As he arose and ascended there, you are also seated with him there. In heaven and on earth, Jesus tells Louisa, you have primacy also in heaven. Don't ask me what that's going to be like. We don't need to know. But the fact that we have primacy on earth is very important, because it means that we are reigning even now, and we must believe it, brothers and sisters. Every doubt and every fear that we have, every sin that we commit, is because we do not know that we are already sons and daughters of the King, princes and princesses who are reigning now with him here in his kingdom. Because his kingdom is on earth. And if you don't believe his kingdom's here, you don't know what the gospel's all about. Pope Benedict makes this very clear in chapter 3 of Jesus of Nazareth. Kingdom of God is not a noun, it's a verb. It is now. It is a reigning that goes on now, on this earth, in this world, in our time. And you want to be a part of that reigning. You are. You are, if you know it, if you believe it, and if you want it. That's what he's offering you and me today through the gospel and through the gift of his divine will, which Jesus has restored to us through all that he did in redemption. So, and then the last sentence again, what else could you possibly ask for? You know, what more do you want? It's a great question you might ask yourself. You know, what am I looking for more than this? What more than the kingdom of God do I need? And if I'm looking for something else, then stop it. Don't even ask yourself why. Just stop doing it. And instead, start focusing on doing every act you do and letting everything in your life be guided by this great one single desire, the one love of your life, the reign of God, dwelling on earth, reigning in you, and having dominion over every single thing you do. And that's the great challenge, isn't it? You know, unfortunately, if we could just say, you know, well, I wish I could say the first 50 years of my life were the total stripping, so all I have left now is the will of God. Well, that's not the way it works for most of us. With Louisa, she was given that special grace because of her mission. She had to be prepared to write for many years this science. We have the gift of the science given to us without all the suffering of Louisa and the sacrifice she made for it. But at the same time, we must also be allowing God to strip away from us all that is not His will, all of the consequences and effects of His will. And we know that takes time. Yeah, I think it'll take until the day we die, until our last breath, we will be learning how to let go, how to surrender it to God, to stop trying to control our own lives and doing our will instead of God's will as we know it in our lives. This is the great challenge. So the stripping away, the letting go, is going to go on even while we're learning this. You see, it's kind of we're doing both. But we must at the same time be doing all that we can to be sure that we're putting the kingdom of God's will first. That's our part. And to make it the number one priority of our lives. As St. Peter says in his letter, let's not spend the rest of our lives, no matter how many years are left, one or 90, but let's not spend the rest of our lives on our human will, but instead on the will of God, doing His will and living in His will. So with that, let us continue with the next passage, which is a short one we can complete today. The sun is symbol of the divine majesty and water is the symbol of the divine will. A summary there, which is queen and soul of everything. The creature could live without the sun, but not without water. Well, I guess it's possible if you lived underground, way underground, and you had oxygen and water that you could perhaps live without the sun. We don't know for how long, but I suppose it would be possible. 26th of July, 1921, my sweet Jesus continued speaking to me about His holy volition, saying, my daughter, if the sun is king of the universe, if its light symbolizes my majesty, and its heat my love and my justice, such that when the sun finds land that does not want to be fruitful, it destroys it by drying it up, making it sterile with its scorching rays. And then water can be called the queen of the earth. It symbolizes my will. There's no place where it does not enter, nor is there any creature that can exist without it. Perhaps it is possible to live without the sun, but no one can live without water. Water enters into everything, even into the veins and inner parts of the human body. As within the deep bowels of the earth, it runs its uninterrupted course in silence. Even way underground, there are great channels of water. It can be said that water is not only the queen of the earth, but also its soul. Without water, the earth would be like a dead body, just as our physical bodies would be dead as well without it. Such is my will. It is not only queen, but it is more than the soul of all created things. It's the life of every beat, of every fiber of the heart. My volition, which is, remember again, that word volition is different from will in Italian in this sense, that it is an action word rather than a noun. Will, volontà, in Italian is a noun, as it is in English. Volition in Italian is a verb also, or a participle like willing, the willing that we do, the willing act that we do in our lives. So volition is the act of willing in our lives. So he says, my volition, like water, flows in everything, now silent and hidden, now speaking and visible. Man can withdraw from my light, from my love, and my grace. Ah, but never from my will. You cannot ever escape God's will. You can escape His grace if you want by living outside of it. You can refuse it. You cannot live outside of God's will. It's impossible. You know, even the soul in the deepest depths of hell are in the greatest state, deepest, darkest state of mortal sin here on earth, is still in God's will. You can't leave it. It would be as if someone wanted to live without water. While it's possible there exists a madman who hates water, and that's very possible, despite the fact that he hates it, that he does not love it, he will be forced to drink it, either water or death. My will is like that also, since it is the life of everything. Creatures can either regard it with love or with hate. But in spite of themselves, they will be forced to make my volition flow within themselves like blood in the veins. You have no choice. It's the one thing you cannot choose. Now, you can choose whether you accept it or not, but you cannot choose whether you're in it or not, because you already are. You know, we might ask, well, then what does it mean to live in God's will if we're already there? To live in it now in the way that we're talking about it, the way that's revealed to us in the book of heaven, is now that we know what it is and we freely, lovingly choose it in our lives to reign in us, to have dominion in us, and for us to live in it as the very air we breathe, that everything we do is in God's will, then you're, by accepting it that way and choosing it, you freely embrace it, and you're able then to live as a part of that kingdom of God's will. Whether you, if you do not choose it, you're still in the reign of God's will, but by choosing not to accept it, not to want to live in it, not to want it to live in you, you have eliminated yourself from all of the blessings, graces, and good effects of that will, which then mean that ultimately you would be eternally lost if that's your ultimate choice. So Jesus says, to try and escape my volition would be like committing suicide with one's own soul. But my volition would not abandon them. It would follow them along the course of justice, not having succeeded in following them along the course of gifts that my volition contains. So even as that soul is justly condemned, it is still condemned by God's will. It's God's will that's still acting in that, with that soul. If man only knew what it means to do or not to do my will, everyone would tremble with fear at the mere thought of withdrawing from my volition by choice, even for an instant. See, if you only knew what it meant to deliberately want to get out of God's will and freely choose to get out of it and to leave it and not do it and choose your own will and to hate God's will, he said, if you only knew what that means, you would tremble with fear at even the thought of withdrawing from God's will, even for one split second. You know, and of course, Jesus is not simply trying to intimidate us or frighten us here. It's the truth. It's the reality, brothers and sisters. So all of this is to say that God wants you in His will and His will in you. The rest is up to you, and it's up to me, because He gave us the freedom to choose or to reject. The greatest gift, the greatest miracle that was ever given to mankind and will ever be given is the life, the reign, the kingdom of the divine will reigning in our souls. Heaven in our souls here on earth. And that's the end of our time together, the end of our program today, the end of that passage. And so, brothers and sisters, don't be disheartened or discouraged if this seems too much for you. Please, it gives you only the more reason to come back and listen to more. We promise we will make it possible for you to understand it more and more. God will make it possible, not us. But trust God to continue to teach you, lead you, and guide you. If you can, read Luisa's writings. If you can get a hold of them any way you can, any legitimate way you can, because there are good ways and bad ways, but try to find them. May they be for you what they have been for me and countless other souls, the water of life, the living water of God Himself, of Jesus and Mary, to help us live the fullness of life that God destined us, created us to be as His children. May God bless you, our Blessed Mother be with you and help you to live always in the heaven, the kingdom of God's will, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen, and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in for The Will of God with Father Robert Young. Be sure to tune in again next week for another episode.